If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy, of course, Giant. Thank you to Patrick Grizzard and Brad Temple. Both those were great episodes. I love to record, and you guys seem to really enjoy listening to. At least I hope you do. I believe you do. The downloads say you do. So you know what? Thank you. I have no idea why I'm talking like that. I feel like I was talking like a weird oil salesman there, but I decided to do that, and that happens sometimes because this is my podcast, and I talk the way I want to talk, and I walk the way I want to walk. And nah, I don't know, but I do walk the way I want to walk. That is a fact. there's so many ways to support the show, as you probably are aware. You can iTunes, can rate us, review us, 5 stars if you'd like. If you give us a 5-star review and say, I talk the way I want to talk and walk the way I want to walk while listening to Hit the Mark, you guys get yourself a free shirt. Just email htmpod@gmail.com. And yeah, that's how that works. Send me the photo of you giving a thumbs up with the iTunes review and you get yourself a free Hit the Mark shirt. Of course, get some of our free, Hit the Mark stuff, but not for free. Go to Zazzle. We have a store there. So type in Hit the Mark, and you'll find all our stuff there. People are buying the stuff, guys. People are wearing the Hit the Mark merch. People are going to be like, you know, you might be living in Sweden and see like a weird logo of a Target and see my name on it. And you might be like, oh, wow, I'm so happy to be in Sweden, and I see a Hit the Mark thing. What's that? I will listen. I don't know. But if you are listening and you are in Sweden, welcome. If not, welcome. and of course, you can support the show another way. If you go to hitthemark.podomatic.com, you will see all the episodes there, all 193 numbered episodes plus the 13 or so unnumbered episodes. And on the right-hand side, you will see a PayPal button there. You can donate as much or as little as you want. It all helps support the show. It all keeps it going. It keeps the power going. Keeps the storage and the internet going. All that good stuff. It's all going. Yeah. And, you know, it helps the show. So, keeps it free. Keeps it going. Today's guest is Michael Romanos, who I'm very excited to talk to. You've heard him before on the show, but we'll talk to him very shortly. First, I have to do my quick play review. This play is actually going to be closing... It might actually be closed by the time you hear this, but I really enjoyed the show, and I still want to review it, because when I saw it, it was open. I saw The Heidi Chronicles by Wendy Wasserstein. When I saw it, I think, like I said, it might be closed by now, because it's supposed to close May 3rd, and it's a really cool show. Basically, it's one of the early good feminist plays from the late 80s. Won a Pulitzer Prize. It's currently the cast has Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, Jason Biggs from teen comedies, and Bryce Pinkham from Broadway. And it's a really good show. Like, it's really well done, a little dated, but overall a really great production, great acting performances all across the board. I mean, although you know Elizabeth Moss and Jason Biggs from film and TV, they're great stage actors. They both actually started on stage. Elizabeth Moss in L.A. and Jason Biggs actually on Broadway as a kid. But the movie, I mean, the play is really well done. It's funny when it should be funny. It's sad when it's supposed to be sad. It's a little heartbreaking, and it's really well done. If it's still open, go see it. If not, it fully hits the mark. So, yeah. So today's guest, you've heard him in Phoebe Satmari's episode. He is the... One of the only guests that could, that, he is the guest that lives closest to me, to where I sleep. Sorry about that, Patrick Grizzard, you are not the closest, there's one closer, maybe two, I don't know if Dave would ever do the show, he probably would, I hope he's listening to this, I'm sure he is, maybe, we don't know, this is my roommate, my first ever roommate on the podcast, was pretty cool. You know him from Scott Beowulf, you know him from Bridge and Tunnel. Funny, funny dude. Michael Romanos, how are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing the show, man.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm very excited, too. How's your Monday morning been?
It's been fine. I'm off Mondays. I work Tuesday through Saturday at Poets House Library in the city.
Go visit them, guys.
Yeah, it's a beautiful library. It's all poetry books, and I do the educational programs there.
Cool.
Class visits and volunteers and interns and lots of social media. I do their Twitter for them.
Yeah.
So lots of different. I wear, you know, they say with nonprofits you wear a lot of different hats.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you are always juggling hats.
Yes. Yes. I have this bowler hat that I've stolen from Patrick Williams that I really like. Yeah. That's my favorite type of hat.
Okay. And do you, like, wear that all the time at work? Like,
no, I don't wear it. I use it in sketches and things, but it's just become very valuable. And you ever have a piece of clothing that you put on and you're like, this is me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, that's me with, like, any plaid shirt that I own.
Plaid shirt, yeah.
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 Like, anyone that I really like, I'm like, yeah, this is me.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this earlier. You have a really nice plaid shirt that you're going to wear for your headshot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully people will be listening to those headshots very shortly because they... By the time this airs, like, I mean, they should be in play.
This is the first, this is probably the first podcast that Marlo's been on, too.
Well, oh, yeah, he did me out.
He usually hides.
He sometimes...
Does he sometimes come out?
Sometimes. I know he, like, popped his head out for Jesse P.S.
Oh.
Which I was shocked by, because Jesse P.S. is intense dude.
Yeah, I mean, it must be special.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, Marlo is firmly out here.
Yeah.
There is a audience in the room, and his ears are fully up.
Yeah.
Cool. I am really excited about this. Like, yeah, like, I've never had a roommate want to do the podcast before.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Sorry it took so long.
Oh, don't worry, it's fine. We both have...
Good things come to those who wait for a podcast.
That is true.
Yeah.
It's like, because, like, Patrick Brewster took forever, too, and, like...
And he lives close by?
He lives right by the R train.
Oh, okay.
Like a block from the R train.
Oh, we should have him over again.
Definitely.
For a non-podcast hangout.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens. You know, we're all busy human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And all, I believe, good people.
Yeah. I was interested to hear about that play you saw with Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, you can still see it.
Cause
in our timeline, it's open.
Yeah, I need to see more. I need to see more plays.
It's cheap because like they've been having trouble selling tickets too.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I agree, but it's a really good show, and also unfortunately their loss in that regard means you know it's a lot easier for us to see the show.
Okay, yeah.
But I highly recommend it. I thought it was fantastic.
Cool.
And plus, Elizabeth Moss, I think, is a really underrated good actress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard she was really good to be the plow, but I missed that production, so...
Mm, yeah. Well, we want... I'd like to see her in other non-Mad Men roles.
Right.
Because she's so iconic in that role that...
Yeah.
It's, you know, you don't want to get pigeonholed.
That's what I feel about, like, most people about Mad Men. Like, the ones that were, like, not famous before Mad Men.
Yeah.
I mean, Jon Hamm has done a good job of, like, not being Don Draper or anything else. Because he's, like, you know, everyone loves him because he's... great, talented, awesome guy.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like there's, like, a couple of actors that are, like, well, I want to say Pete do something different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, because they're so identified with their roles.
And, like, the only other thing I've ever seen him in was that movie Alaska.
Yeah. No.
Like, it was a movie that came out, like, when I was, like, 10 years old.
Yeah.
With, like, him and Thora Birch.
Oh.
And they were, like, lost in Alaska. I remember for a long time I had the actual theatrical poster in my room.
Really?
Yeah, like, it was, like, I went to movie theater, like, when I was a kid one time, and I was like, hey, can I get, like, old posters? And, like, mm-hmm. they hand me that poster, like, buy their posters.
Did you... See, like, I watched... I got really into Northern Exposure.
I never watched that.
And that's Alaska. Sydney, yeah. Sydney, Alaska. I think that's what it... Yeah, Sydney? Yeah.
What is Northern Exposure really about? Yeah, it's a sitcom, right?
It is. It's one of those, like... It was on CBS a long time ago. It came out, I think, around the same time as Twin Peaks.
Right, it's like Twin Peaks-y, right?
Not as weird, but it's definitely quirky.
Yeah.
And basically it's about Fleischman, who is this doctor, New York doctor, that this small town, Sicily, Alaska, pays for his med school.
Okay.
And in exchange, he has to do 5 years in this podunk town in Alaska.
Okay.
And so he's like the New York Jewish doctor that goes out there. And all the different, like, eccentric Alaskan characters are out there, too. So, it's really funny, but it's really also very philosophical and heartfelt. All the different characters are extremely like interesting and quirky and
okay.
But it's definitely one of my favorite shows. So,
oh, yeah. Cool! I should watch it. I remember when like they were releasing it on DVD. They all like all the DVDs had like the puffer jacket.
Yeah, a little parka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool.
It's ridiculous. Do you feel like you're undressing a
DVD case?
Yeah.
Which
like,
is like so
it's
like
always weird. Yeah.
Like
yeah, like you're undressing
most of the
Alaskan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the dust sleeves are like not like that. They're just, you know, like a sleeve. Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, okay, well, let me pull on the zipper. Oh god, it's so long.
Yeah.
Like maybe something interesting there. Nope, it's a DVD.
But hey, we're talking about it, so it worked.
Yeah.
The marketing worked, right?
Hey, good job, people that made Northern Exposure DVD dust jackets.
Yes.
I mean, it's literally a dust jacket when you think about it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty brilliant when you think about it.
Yeah.
But you know, the bad thing about the DVD releases is to make them cheaper, they took out a lot of the original licensing music.
Oh, yeah?
Which really sucks because they got great, like, Otis Redding and all this stuff. That that was kind of part of the show was they, you know, Chris, who's the DJ, played great stuff. And they wanted to make the DVDs cheaper. So, the original ones cost, like, $60 because they had, you know, the licensing
music. Right, right.
So it's really a bummer if you're, like, a really true fan, you know.
So you have to go like Amazon or like eBay.
It's just one of those weird things where like if you're watching it, you don't realize it, but they took out all the really good original old school music.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, that happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like it's
okay. Let's talk about comedy.
No. Actually, no. I was thinking about like I just met the old boy. The original old boy DVD release that like was like $40. That was not the like the original release, like the re-release. So they like realized like America Loves the Movie,
right?
And it comes as a like, giant steel tin,
right?
And it comes in. It comes to the original manga that old boy.
Oh, that's awesome!
Sorry, old boy, plus like a film cell and stuff like that.
That's great.
But like, I wonder how much money they made off of that. Like,
right.
Just because, like, that movie is so popular with such a niche audience.
Well, it's so funny. They do those, like, elaborate inserts, but, like, do you look at it more than once, do you think?
I read the manga a couple times.
So then you looked at it twice.
Yeah. but, I mean, the case is, like, the actual box is, like, I can show you the box sometimes. Like, the box is, like,
that's awesome.
Like, thick, and it's, like, I love the steel tin boxes.
Yeah. I really like this old soul label called Numero Group out of Chicago, and they do a lot of different releases and re-releases of cool stuff, and they have the best insert art and, like, material and background. They really, like, go 100%. I mean, it's, you know, it's nice.
It's like a Criterion Collection DVD. Right? Yeah. Like, I don't want to do anything bad with this DVD.
Right.
Just want to cherish it.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of those. Like, I have Mad World, and I have The Great Dictator.
Oh, okay.
Which is my favorite Chaplin film. So,
wow, cool.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
It's hard as a fan of Chaplin and...
talks in that at the end and gives a big speech.
Yes. It's hard to believe as a fan of Chaplin that like he was able to make a movie like that while Hitler was in power.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I think he had the best post-sound... or like, what is it? Post-silent career of like he actually did pretty well.
Yeah, like Buster Keaton like stopped.
Yeah, Buster Keaton's is kind of very sad. I mean, the next time I see him, he appears in Sunset Boulevard, and he's playing cards.
Right.
Yeah, but
and then like after that, it's Mad World.
Yeah, but I love.
Where he's on for a second.
I love Buster Keaton and Chaplin and Harold Lloyd and. I've never seen the fourth clown.
Fatty Arbuckle?
No, I think it's like...
No, he's not silent.
It's like Langley, something like that. He was like... There was like four big box office guys, and he was the fourth.
Okay.
But I think a lot of his stuff is not, like, out there. Anyways.
It happens.
Yeah.
So sadness, huh? yeah, I always wanted to be, like, one of those kind of clowns.
Yeah.
Like, I love Bill Irwin.
Okay,
Is, like... I'd say the most traditional clown there is now.
But he has a sweetness to him, which is really cool.
Yeah, and he makes me really happy as an actor.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's
stuff
nice.
Like that. Yeah. Cool. Who's your favorite clown?
Oh, my God. oh, my God.
And again.
Who is my favorite clown? I don't know. There's some people like you just kind of like laugh at from their physical comedy, and you just kind of whatever they do, you're gonna laugh at. I mean, that's a really good question. I have to think about who comes to mind like with physical comedy. I mean, I would say it's probably God. I don't know. Let me think about it.
All right.
We can't pause the podcast, right?
I prefer not to. I mean, between the fact that...
We'll pause it for an hour while I think of a clown.
It's going to like, you'll be like talking about like, and then I went to college. You're like, Bozo!
Right. No. I mean, I don't know a lot of clowns by name.
Well, it could be like a Jim Carrey or something like that. Like,
yeah, I was never a big Jim Carrey guy.
Yeah, I know you're not. We've had a discussion to some extent.
I think he's great. I think he's funny. I think he's talented, but it just wasn't my cup of tea. Like,
I mean, I've always been scared of, like, traditional clowns. Mm-hmm. Remember being a little kid watching Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
Yeah.
And the clown at the chain, like, in the operating room scene terrified me as a little kid.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty freaky. Yeah. That movie is not for kids. And every kid watches it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pee Wee is not for kids, really.
Yeah.
He's like for adults. I wish they were kids too.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him when he was on Broadway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was not that original Pee Wee's Playhouse was not for kids, really.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of, but it wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of kids in the audience.
You know, I have a really good answer that I just thought of.
All right.
Curious George.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, because I grew up. I mean, I was just thinking of like what was my favorite thing as a kid. And Curious George, when you think about it, is sort of like clowny and silly and zany and like a lot of physical stuff. Yeah, so that's my answer.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dive into like head first since we're like on a roll about kid stuff. So what was your big comedy or acting inspiration growing up?
Growing up, I watched, Sesame Street was big, Pinwheel. Today's Special, a lot of the original kind of like PBS kind of shows, I would say, is like my first one. I did, but like I remember staying up past midnight to watch SNL when I was a kid. That was like a really big deal, you know?
Yeah, I remember like crawling my parents' bed and watch like SNL as a little kid.
Yeah, I watched Johnny Carson a lot growing up. So, like, those were, like, I was, like, a kid when I was watching, like, Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman and that cast was, like, my first, you know, experience with, like, really zany comedy. And then I would say, like, in middle school, in high school, I got into Kids in the Hall, which was, like, my all-time favorite. Stuff.
Are you seeing them like next month?
I'm seeing them this Friday at 10:30.
Oh yeah, I knew it was like coming up really soon.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's nice. I'm very excited about that.
Did you get good seats?
Yeah, as best as we could because they sold out in like a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean those are the stuff that I kind of grew up with that I think like most people did. I mean my parents never sheltered me from I would say like sex or violence. You know,
mine did to like a certain age.
Yeah, they let me watch everything. Like Richard Pryor, I like listened to Richard Pryor when I was a kid.
Oh really?
Yeah, like they just didn't like believe in censoring us.
That's cool.
Yeah,
like I remember I wasn't allowed to watch like PG-13 movies until I was like 10.
Yeah,
but it's weird because I mentioned this before that I was raised on Rocky Horror.
Oh, cool.
So like that's a pretty R movie.
Yeah, it's funny because like this story kind of encapsulates it. When we went to see this movie called like Ski Patrol, and it turned out to be this like B comedy sex movie, and so my parents were like, "This we can't show the kids this." So the movie they took us into as an alternative was Scarface. So it was like okay, like you know. And I think they were just too tired to move us again, so they were like,
"You were like
okay.
4 years old when that movie came out."
I was, I mean, I was born in '79, so yeah, it's hilarious. But they, you know, they had just had such a great attitude of like, "You
That's
guys,
hilarious.
Yeah." So like, when that translated to, so we would see. I remember my dad took us to see Jackie Mason in Washington D.C. when I was a kid, and. you know, my dad and my mom both love. My mom grew up watching the Carol Burnett show with her, and all those shows. So
I want to see Carol Burnett. Like, I really want to see her really badly. Like,
yeah.
Like, I know she's always in New York and like random stuff, but like,
I think she would be a great. Just she probably has the best stories in the world. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I met Jackie Mason briefly once and hung out with his daughter.
I'm sure very once. Briefly. It was like, blah, 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 nice to meet you. Blah, blah.
Well, like, I was at, like, he was on my trips to New York.
Yeah.
He was on Broadway at the time.
Oh, cool.
And, like, I was at the Edison Cafe. And, like, he, like, sits down at the table next to us. And, like, I was like, screw it, I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's
it was,
nice.
Like, briefly. Like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Very briefly. Very, very. Nice to meet you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I met his daughter a couple times because one of my friends was in her show.
Oh, okay.
7 or 2 Punch Lines and Pregnant. I think it's the name of the show. I'm not sure.
Wow.
But like, I saw like the original performance of it. I'm like, oh, this
you've
is...
You've seen a lot of plays. I mean, you're...
I do the best I can. Well, I mean, I'm an actor. So
no, I know. It's just great.
If I don't see plays, then what am I doing in the city?
Yeah. I mean, why you could live anywhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if I have the best theater in the world, I might as well like try and enjoy. I don't see as much theater as I want to.
Yeah.
But it's because I'm so busy and it's, you know, not the cheapest.
But thing. I bet that helps your improv immensely because you have all this, like, all this stuff to draw from in your head. You know, theatrical scenes and character stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But it also, like, inhibits because, like, I try to think originally and then, like, you know, if I see so much theater or read so much theater.
Yeah.
Then, like, how can I think originally?
Well, you can't.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, it'll be, like, something you've heard, like, 3 years ago or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I start talking, like, start quoting the Heidi Chronicles. That'd be weird. That'd be really weird, because, like, the guys are good in that show, but, like, they're all, like, minor characters.
I don't know the Heidi Chronicles.
It's a great play. I believe I only lend it to you.
The Heidi, is it about girls named Heidi?
It's about a girl named Heidi, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Growing up, it takes place, like, 25 years from, like, mid-60s to, like, to 89.
Oh. It sounds like a Disney movie, like the Heidi Chronicles, doesn't it?
Like, you mean like the Princess Diaries?
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean...
Yeah, I'm sure really it's not like that.
But
yeah.
It's all about a woman going from, like, very complacent to, like, being her own, like, real adult.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
It happens.
Yeah.
Well, it should happen. Yeah, and it's a great piece of theater. Yeah. So let's talk about growing up in Florida, because, like you guys know, Mike and I, like, we are from basically the same part of Florida.
I'm going to get some more coffee.
Yeah, you do that, my friend.
Do you want some more coffee?
I'm good right now, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually are drinking some good coffee. Mike always has good coffee in the house. What's today's coffee, since you are very proud of this? And might as well plug in the podcast.
This is a new one. It's called Irving Farm.
Irving Farm.
Yeah, no, normally I drink Stumptown. But, there's just, you know, New York has a lot of good coffee brands. Growing up in Florida, both of my parents are from New England. My dad was born in Vermont, and my mom was born in, born in Barrie, Vermont. My mom was born in Holyoke, Mass. And then in the 70s, they picked up and moved to Florida.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents, they both ended up in Florida, like, in the 70s.
Yeah, it's a very common, like, story.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm from a town called Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
It's a nice small town.
It's a nice small town. It was founded by, you know, John D. MacArthur, you know, MacArthur Genius Grant, all that, you know, billionaire.
MacArthur Causeway.
Millionaire, yeah, all that.
Like, it's so weird. There's, like, 5 names of everything in South Florida.
Yeah, there's a few, like, kind of big barons, you know, like Flagler.
Yeah.
Flagler is basically just responsible for the development of South Florida because he built the railroad. And it's a nice, you know, it's the home of the Professional Golfers Association, the PGA is down there.
Yeah, there's a lot
of nice sleepy town until overdevelopment in the, I would say, the late 90s, early aughts.
Which is like when, like, which is, in my opinion, when Miami changed to, like, the why I don't like it much anymore.
Yeah, it just was big real estate boom. And in every kind of vacant lot of forest they developed by where I grew up, it's not... But, and, you know, it is what it is, so.
You sound so sad about that.
Yeah, I mean,
thank God. I'm sorry, because, like, I feel like whenever someone from, like, South Florida, like, no, I still love it. I just go down and visit my family.
I mean, it's places change, and, you know, you can't be too nostalgic, but, you know, when I was growing up, there were still cow pastures, and you'd go pick strawberries, and, you know, there was a season, you know, in the summer, the tourists would go away, and
yeah.
You know, it was just, what I grew up with, and now it's just, you know, planned development everywhere, so, yeah.
No, I'm in that same full boat there. I'm like,
yeah,
I love it, but, like, I mean, I remember, like, when I was a kid, like, watching, like, when the movie Too Fast and Furious came, like, that's, like, exactly when, like, I noticed the change.
Mm.
Like, it's really weird. Like, I have no real issue with the movie Too Fast and Furious, but, like, there's a line in my play where hopefully, knock on wood, that people will see. again, knock on wood.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I love it. I love going home and visiting my family, and I love the winters there are just gorgeous, and it's, you know, my home, and I think it's great, so, yeah.
Cool. So what kind of kid were you, like, growing up there? Like, were you just a fun kid?
Yeah, yeah, it was fun. I don't know.
I don't know what kind of term fun kid means.
No,
but, yeah.
I think I was a very, I was definitely not, I mean, I was shy and not shy, I was sensitive. I was, you know, outgoing. I don't think I was like a easily categorized. You know, I like to do a little bit of everything.
Right, because you're athletic and
yeah, I played smart. I played lots of sports. I did well at school. Like, I did a little bit of everything growing up. I think I think I'm like my dad that way. He played football, basketball, and baseball in high school, and, you know, so yeah, I like to do a little bit of everything. I'm trying, you know, yeah.
What was your sports?
I played soccer from the time I was 5 to like 16. I played street hockey for a couple
street
years.
Street hockey's so big in South Florida. It's so
it's
fun.
Become big. I was the first. I was in like the first wave of it. Like.
Yeah.
I remember they built the rink like right when I got into it, but I played basketball. I actually my sport in high school was cross country and track, so that's what I like lettered
nice.
In. Yeah,
were you like the best?
No, I was average. Like, no, I mean it's really you know like it was average. Like, you know, there was I did pretty well, but you know there's guys that, you know. That ran a lot faster, definitely.
Well,
so.
I mean, yeah, like, people talk about you in South Florida as, like, the fastest man in South Florida.
Yeah, no, they do not. No,
that'd
but,
be so funny, like, even, like, got all the way down Pinecrest, like, yeah, there's this guy.
Yeah.
Like, a few years ago who, like, broke the speed record.
No, I love running. It's, like, it gets you away from things and you don't stop. It's a one.
I just love to say that. I love running. It gets you away.
It does.
From, yeah.
It gets you away from things. You're by yourself. You nothing bad can happen to you unless you get hit by a car. you know, but it's and you know it makes you feel great. I just you know I so I definitely fell in love with running in high school. So yeah. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but I play you know like a little bit of football, a little bit of soccer, a little bit of baseball. Yeah.
So you're like one of those people like every season. Like, yeah, but I'm gonna go. Do whatever I gotta do right now, sport wise.
Yeah, it was great.
That's cool.
And it's Florida, so you can play year round. You know.
Yeah. I remember trying to be a good athletic kid, but like it never really worked out for
no.
me.
No. Yeah.
I was not. I'm not a talented athlete. I thought I was really good at tennis, but
I played that.
At,
yeah.
But good at tennis meant like hitting the ball like in a way that no one could hit it.
Right.
As in like
you had a
I
shot
hit, like out of bounds, like fully out of bounds, like out of the field,
right.
out of bounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played tennis and I grew up I grew up playing golf with my dad. My dad was a big golfer.
My grandpa tried to get me into golf. Golf is such a big sport in South Florida. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's more golf courses per capita, I think, than anywhere else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things. Like, my dad plays golf and that was the thing we did with him on the weekends. And, it was great.
Do you still play golf when you're down there?
Yeah, my dad and I will play, and it's really nice. It's really a nice bonding thing too, because again, like sort of like running, if you play 18 holes, it's like 4 hours away from everything, and there's no,
right.
there's no cell phones, hardly any, you know, like you talk, you know, it's nice. You talk and you catch up and you, yeah, so that's one of my favorite things to do with my dad.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've like always respected golf. I just never was understood the logistics of it. Like how there's so many different like clubs and stuff like that. I remember like my grandpa was really big in golf and he bought me golf clubs as a kid and like tried to get me into it. I'm like, oh God.
It's a great game. The worst thing about it is that it's an elitist, like, you know, rapes the environment and all this, but it's really fun to play.
Rapes the environment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those courses are awful on the environment, yeah.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I just, you know, it's one of those things, like, I don't know if I would play golf if my dad didn't play golf. You know what I mean? All right. Like, yeah, so.
I like mini golf a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's funny normally, and or hard.
Yeah, mini golf is great.
And also, you just deal with a putter.
Yeah,
so you're not going to worry about like anything more complicated.
That's it.
But
yeah, a lot of you know what's interesting is I had a friend who was really into golf, and we would talk about improv, and we would relate it to a golf swing.
Yeah,
because a golf swing is extremely complicated. And improv can be very complicated, and all the different parts of it, you know, when they come together, it's great, you know. But like in golf, you can't work on your whole swing; you have to work on like parts of it.
Right.
And then you just put the you hope that everything becomes muscle memory. You put it together, and it works. And it's the same thing, kind of with like a lot of things. But that was our favorite improv analogy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like that's makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird because like, I sell so much golf stuff whenever I do my auction job.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I always have like, golf stuff, and like, it always goes for like $3,000.
Yeah, people are crazy about it. Yeah.
Yeah, which is great.
I mean, you know, I can see why though. I mean, if you hit, you know, if you hit a drive like 250 yards and it's perfect, it's great. It's you know like hitting a baseball on the sweet spot. You know, you do it a few times and you know you get hooked.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Marlo wanted to join back in.
Yes. And he's lab cat.
Looking at your coffee right now.
Yeah. He's
also a fan of Irving Farms.
Yeah.
Cool. When did you start getting into like, improv, like in high school and stuff like that, or was it college or post college?
No, it was definitely. I got into it. I didn't do anything like. I got into poetry in college, and I was a writer. I wrote. And I
what was your major?
I was an English major.
Right, because we were in different parts of the campus, of course, sometimes too. But
I mean, I wish I did that.
We should let people know we are both Gators.
Yeah, Florida Gators. Yep.
Very proud of that.
Yep, absolutely.
It was, I think, one of the first days we bonded too.
Yeah.
I feel like that, because I know we met in Kevin Hines.
401.
Right. But like, I remember, like, I feel like
somebody wore a Gator shirt or something like that.
And like, we both like commented on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got into improv. I went to see ASCAT. I went to see ASCAT when I first moved to the city.
Okay.
And it was when the... I remember going, because the girl I was with at the time, we had such a good time. And I remember Jack Black was in the audience talking about meeting up with Maya Rudolph afterwards and, like, seeing all these, like,
my heroes. You were listening to this conversation?
Oh, yeah.
You're like... Like
then. Well, it was a very small venue.
Right, and it was at like 22nd Street, probably.
I think so, yeah. And it was amazing, and you know, you got to see SNL people on stage and this and that. And then I didn't go probably for another 8 years. And then I went. So a friend of mine was like, "Let's go see ASCAT," and I was like, "Oh, I haven't done that in ages. I'll go." And we went. This was in 2009, and she, you know, they announced like, "Oh, you can take classes, blah blah blah." And she was like, "Why don't you take a class here? You're really funny. You know, you're looking for something to do." And I was like, yeah, why not? I'll do it, you know? And so that's how it all started.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gainesville a little bit.
Sure.
Because I feel like I never talk about Gainesville with anyone.
Sure.
Gainesville, I was only there for 2 years, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
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 So.
What do you want to know?
What was it like when you lived there? Like, because I feel like it was always, like, I feel like it's always been like a really fun college town.
Yeah.
Where like, it's like really kind of sleepy, but not at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, there's the 40, you know, the 40,000 or whatever it is now, school.
Yeah.
People go, you know, 40,000 people at the school. And then there's the surrounding kind of like Central Florida, stuff. No, I mean, it was a great college town. I really enjoyed my time there. I met a lot of great people there.
What made you want to go there for English?
Well, the thing is like if you get into a state school,
it's a lot cheaper.
It's a free ride.
Right.
Yeah. So
depending on
yeah. So that was a big factor. And I to tell you the truth, like my brother went there, and I was just like, you know, why? You know, that was like the best state school in Florida. So I was like, I'll go.
It's been I mean, FSU's kind of okay.
Oh, FSU's great. Yeah, new school is great. You know, the other schools, like, you know, like UCF, are coming up, but,
I'd say UCF is like, has been there, like, since around, like, when I was at UF, so.
Yeah, it was kind of like an alternative school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I lived in, this place called Piccadilly Apartments.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah.
I was in Wind Meadows.
Okay. Yeah.
Was Wind Meadows around when you were there? Because I know it was a little bit newer.
I don't remember.
It's the one that's like right behind the mall movie, not the mall movie theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I mean, I know where that is. Yeah. But yeah, it was great. I went to a lot of readings and concerts and
such great concert scene in Gainesville.
I saw. Yeah, I remember seeing Elliot Smith there at the Covered Dish, which is not there anymore, in this great small venue. I remember seeing Willie Nelson and yeah, it was just, you know, going to football games is great.
Yeah.
You know,
and you were there for an interesting time, right? For football, right? That was like the beginning of the most recent, like beginning of the second most recent Renaissance.
Yeah. I was there from 97 to, 2000. So you know, it was the era of Danny Werfel.
Right.
So I think he had just won the championship, and then it was kind of like a down period. And then when I left, they got good again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I was only there for a good period.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I was only there for, like, the height of Tebowism.
Oh, that's great.
Which is part of the reason I'll always be Tebow.
I was there during the resurgence of the basketball team, which was great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was really fun to go see basketball games, yeah.
Yeah, I remember, like, I didn't, like, really care for the... Because I had no real reason to care for the schools, because I was like, meh, don't care about state schools. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should, like, possibly stay in Florida a little bit longer. Then, like, right when I realized that, it was, like, when, like, Florida won its first basketball championship in a while.
Yeah.
And then, like, I stayed and stuff like... And then, like, I got there and, like, you know, when I got... Did I ever tell you that I was in dance class with Walter Hodge?
No.
One of my dance classes I take, Walter Hodge was in it.
Wow.
And, like, he looked at me for ballet.
Oh, that's great.
So I was his, like, I was the point guard of both national championship back-to-back teams.
That's great.
I-man for...
Was dance class part of your, like, theater?
It was part of, like, the requirement, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. And it was, like, a good class for, like, basketball players because, like, they can
movement,
take time off and also, like, movement.
Right.
Also in the Stephen O'Connell Dome, so.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. It smelled like kind of like weird chlorine in there because the pool was right there.
Yeah, I used to swim there and I used to work out there. Yeah.
Cool, yeah. But like, yeah, it was a weird time because the basketball team was terrible while I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because like most of the people like left right before I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I think Beal was just becoming decent while I was there.
And, yeah.
Like the football team was incredible while I was there. I mean like. I was there for Tebow's, like, no one's going to work harder than me speech.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, you know, of course he had a statue there, like,
right.
Before I left, I feel like.
Cool.
But, yeah. So what brought you to New York?
I was working at Barnes & Noble after college, and I was applying to grad schools, and I got into Columbia for poetry, and I went. So
nice.
It was great, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So... Did you live in Manhattan at that time, or?
When I first moved to New York, I lived in the smallest room imaginable on campus. It was six
feet. 4x4?
No, it was like 6 feet by like 10 feet. Like I could sit on my bed and like work at my desk. It was like, it was awful. It was a closet, really.
Like, that means you like stretch and hit both walls.
It was awful. Yeah, you could do that. And
I would not be able to like lie down in that room.
Yeah, but I was just so happy to be in New York, and I thought, oh, this is a small New York room. It's fine. But I lived on West 121st Street in Amsterdam, right by school.
That's nice area.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. And then I moved to the bigger room next door for a while. And then I moved here in, I think, like 2005 or 6.
Oh, so it's like your only like little apartment in the city.
This is very unusual. I've only lived in two apartments since 2001.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's like really impressive. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, in college, I like almost change apartments every year.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I never had a dorm situation. And yeah. And in college, just like lived in apartments.
Yeah, my friend John had the opposite experience where he's probably lived in like 15 apartments while he's here. And every borough, you name it, he's lived there. And I just like, you know, I lived on campus and then I moved here and I just like kind of like won the lottery. This is
like the best place.
Yeah, I love this apartment.
Like, I love like telling people like, really? And like, they're like, how is that possible?
Yeah, some people just win the lottery, like when it comes to like good living situations. So.
Cool. So you finish Columbia, then
yeah,
you come over here and stuff like that. So like, let's talk about like some improv stuff.
Sure.
Like, because you got the biography down.
Sure.
Now let's learn about the man and the myth and the legend.
The man behind the biography.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm proud of that.
Sure.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So you started taking improv classes in 2009, or?
Yes.
Right?
Who was your first teacher? No, that's a lie. 2011.
Oh, okay. So it took you 2 years after Sinan Ascat.
No, I think I got that year wrong. If we're going to be factual.
All right. Well, you know what, guys? This whole episode's a fucking sham. I'm moving out right now.
No, 2011.
That'd be so weird if, like...
No, I 2011. 2011.
Cool.
Yeah. I took 101 with Fran Gillespie.
Oh, one of my favorites.
She's amazing. And she came up to me after the class show, and she, you know, she came out for drinks, which a lot of teachers don't do. And
right.
It was, she was great. And she said, you should take 201. You're really funny. And that meant a lot. And she was
were
just
you
very
not
nice.
Going to take it, probably, or?
No, we were just talking about, like, what we were going to do. And, like, it, you know, she was, like, what people were doing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was nice for her to say that.
So who was your 201?
201 is Brandon Gardner.
Great teacher.
301 was Ari Vukaitis.
Yeah.
401 was Kevin Hines. And then I didn't get into advanced, so I took 401 with Doug Moe, who I loved.
Yeah.
And then I've only taken, maybe three advanced study. So, and then I took sketch. I started taking sketch, I think, when I was in 401.
Yeah.
And then I had Neil Casey for 101.
Oh.
Which was great. And it was right before he started to, like, get hired for other things.
Right.
And then I think I took 201 with Delaney. Jesus. No, that's wrong. I took 201 with Rachel Mason.
Amazing teacher, so.
She was great. Yeah, she really cares.
Old neighbor also.
Yeah, she's one of
She was, like, two blocks from here,
but she's
right?
one of the few teachers that really calls you out on, like, not doing your stuff and, like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, telling you to work harder and, like, really taking it seriously, which I loved. 301 was with Brandon Guya, and then I took, a one-off again with Neil Casey, and I took a one-off with... when I say one-off, but I think, like, a four-week course.
Right.
With, like, Delaney... And so I've had really great teachers along the way.
That's a lot. Like, it's a really solid lineup right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of those teachers don't really teach anymore.
Yeah.
At least in New York.
Yeah, I think I was, like, kind of the last to get some of the...
That's how I was with Will Hines. Yeah, he's, like,
yeah.
One of his last, like, 8 weeks.
Yeah, I've only taken him, like, twice when he was, like, a sub, and he was amazing. I wish I could have taken a full class.
Yeah, and I'm sure he probably done those workshops he does every once in a while in the city.
I never have done that.
Oh, well, then I highly recommend those. They're
yeah,
great.
I would like to do those. They sell out pretty quick.
Yeah. I really enjoyed, like, because I remember, like, meeting you in that 401 class.
Right.
And, like, you were really funny.
Oh,
and,
thank
like,
you. Really I thought the
like,
same
very
thing.
Very specific stuff.
Yeah, that was a
That was a rough class, though.
It was a rough class. A lot of good, strong personalities in that class. I remember that.
Yeah.
But it was really kind of, like, learning... how to do really good improv. But it's hard in a class of 16 to stand out.
Especially, like, in a, like, weird personality. It was a weird personality class.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's the easiest way to describe it for me, because, like, it was my second 401. My first 401 was, like, I was Shannon O'Neill, and, like, it was all, like, people like Glenn Buzan and, like,
right.
a lot of, like,
oh, that's
amazing
great.
People that, like,
yeah.
are, like, were all, like, Andy Vecinos in that class.
Yeah.
A lot of people that, like, had their voice, like, my voice was, like, nowhere near... found before that class.
Absolutely.
That's, like, it's so weird, because, like, Shannon told me what my voice was, basically.
Right.
And I'm so thankful for that. And then, like, I was still, like, figuring out that in that Kevin Hines class and didn't get in, and then I took another Kevin Hines class.
Yeah.
And then was, like, and that class was, like, all, like, Sean Casey, Dan Glazer.
Right.
All, like, all amazing players.
Yeah. They make you better. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had a good second half of that class. I think my big note from Kevin was, like, you need to have just more, like, actorly emotional. You have to have an emotional response more.
Yeah.
Like, I tend to play things very flat in commentary. So that really was a wake-up call.
Not so much anymore, though.
Yeah,
no. Because, I mean, I've seen your stuff recently, and it's so fucking funny.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, but, and then when I took Doug Moe, I just hit the ground running, I think.
Yeah, I had Doug for 301.
Yeah.
So
I think it was really good. And it made me, like, realize, like, oh, I didn't advance to the next level. Am I good enough? And it was like, why am I really doing this? Is it just to get, like, you know, to the next thing? Or do I really love it? So it was a good, like, lesson for me.
I mean, at that same time, you were in a team that was, like, coming up really fast, the Mondays.
Yeah, the Mondays was great. I loved that. That was, like, we were a team we practiced solid for, like, 2 years, 2-3 years, yeah.
I think I've almost completed everyone on that team on the podcast.
Oh, good.
Except for, I know Brandon Tarzan, I knew, who's on my current team, Ball and Sox.
Yeah, has he done it?
He's not done it. I know I've had Amanda. Who else? Who else was in Mondays?
Jesse.
Jesse did it.
Pete Sestero.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. And then Alexandra.
Wasn't Amanda? Yeah, Amanda Ratty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had about half the team.
That's great.
Cool. And I love the origin story of Scott Beowulf so much, because you guys start off as Eagle 5.
Eagle 1. Yeah, no, we all met in Christian Capozzoli. I started taking Christian when I couldn't get into advanced study classes.
Yeah.
Because I was frustrated, and that was the best decision I've ever made.
I need to take some of his classes. Like, I've heard only amazing things.
He's my favorite teacher. He's the best. He's so smart. Gets you to do your best stuff. It's just such a... I can't say enough good things. And he just makes you feel comfortable, and, like, makes you feel like you're... His classes are never about individual stuff. It's all about how can we become better as a group and an ensemble.
Right.
And how can we do theatrical stuff and have physicality and present. Like, everything that he teaches, I think, is amazing. So...
Cool. So you go one all met in one of his classes, or?
Yeah, I met Mike Green and Patrick, and I think I met Andrew outside of that. And I know that Mike and Patrick did some stuff. And then we were talking, I think, we were just talking about doing different stuff, and they invited me to, like, kind of join, and then we did, and it was great, and then we invited Phoebe to join.
And Phoebe's a powerhouse.
Yes, great.
Great episode of the show, too. Very popular episode of the show, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, and she's amazing.
The episode where you made your first appearance.
That's true. The wacky roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Christian's classes are amazing, and I've taken as many as I can. I'm in one right now, and I love it. He's great.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man. I really need to sign for one of this stuff, like...
You should.
Really do. I have to.
Yeah.
Gotta find time and money.
And then I was invited to come to a writer's meeting for Bridge and Tunnel. When was that? Like, that was 2 years ago?
Because you've been on Bridge and Tunnel for a while.
Yeah. I think it's, like, February of I'm really bad with dates, as you can tell. But February of 2013.
Okay.
Yeah. We were friends on Twitter. And then Kristen Bartlett, who wrote, Dead Dad Club.
Which was a great show.
Yeah, the Dead Dad's Club.
Just finish it, it's fun.
She was like, you're really funny, do you write sketch? And at the time I was in a 101 sketch class, and I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, I'm a fucking pro at this.
Yeah.
And it was like for like 8 weeks, okay?
Sometimes you just have to fake it till you make it kind of thing.
Yeah,
I mean? If I had said no to that opportunity, that would have been really stupid. You know, but if I had been like, oh, no, I'm not there yet, that would have been, you know. And so that was great. And, yeah.
And Bridget Jones was a little established at that point, right? Or were they not?
Yeah, they were together for a few months before that. Not long, but I kind of was kind of in on the second floor instead of the ground floor, I guess you'd say.
And, like, you guys have had a really fun run.
Yeah, we have a monthly show at the Pit, and we're working on some stuff, you know, some scheming some plans for future shows and stuff.
That's
like
fun.
That. Yeah.
I like the idea of scheming. I think scheming is a fun thing.
It's a good word.
It's a great word.
Yeah.
It's such a weird word, because it's like one of those words that has such a negative context, but a good context, it could be a good context.
Yeah. But, like, Bridget Tunnel, I mean, that was the first time that I've ever kind of, like, memorized stuff for stage, and I remember the first show, like, running around hectic with costumes and stuff, and I felt like it was in a play, like, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And I never, like, had that experience in high school. And it's or like growing up, so it was really exciting and great, and I still love it.
It's so funny in my mind that like you were like so like active like in everything in high school but theater.
I mean it's weird that I didn't. I mean looking back on it, I would have told my younger self to do that. I think
It's really funny like now that you're like lying down. It looks like on the chair.
Yeah.
Because I feel like now I'm like doing like no one can see this but me.
Right.
Marlo's not even looking at this.
No, he's giving himself a bath.
I feel like I'm in like your doctor right now. But, like, so how does that make you feel?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's cool. I mean, sometimes the podcast can be therapeutic.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
I mean,
just talk therapy.
Sometimes you know, like, well, I mean, like, you know, if unless I'm like too depressed to like do the podcast.
Yeah.
Which has happened before.
But then you probably like, oh, I don't feel like doing this, and then you know, just like improv or sketch, like, then like once you're doing it, it's great that you're doing it.
Right, but I mean, also sometimes you don't want like your inner shit to like bleed out.
Right.
Onto like the stuff that you don't. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I just look at it like there was plenty of times where I didn't feel like going to practice, and I did, and I was so glad that I did because I felt so much better afterwards. So.
And also, I just realized I'm really like random right now.
Yeah,
this is technically a Flint episode because you were in the original lineup of Flint.
I was
Supernova.
Right. Oh, yes.
I remember you dropped out
before
first practice.
I know. I
keep forgetting. Like, I'm like, wait, this is actually technically a Flint episode.
I know. I was very excited, and then I was like, then the date for the shows, I could not do.
Yeah.
So I could not commit. Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, yeah. So now I've had technically seven members of the team.
Well, that's how I met Phoebe, now that I'm thinking about it.
Because of Supernova, right?
Yeah, I was on...
the second round, right?
No, it was like five or six.
Oh, right, because you were on Supernova right when I moved in.
Yeah, I was on Plague, and it was a great team, I loved it, but that's how I met Phoebe, yeah, because she was on it too.
So. And then you guys added her to Eagle One, or...
We were at a party, and we did a sketch of mine... And we were having such a good time, and it was just kind of like we just were like, this is, you know, we should invite Phoebe because she's already doing so much stuff with us. So it was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Easy decision.
Yeah, she's so smart, so funny.
Yep.
Like, she's doing a lot of really cool things.
Oh, she's probably the hardest working person I know when it comes to comedy and pushes people to be better. And it's great.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I'm loving this episode.
Okay.
I'm loving it.
Hey!
I'm McDonald's in this episode.
There we go.
I'm Burger Kinging. Actually, I used to love Burger King so much because it's a South Florida company.
Yes, it's out of Miami, I think, right?
Well, it was like out of like my part of Miami, too.
Yeah.
Like, the headquarters were like by my parents' house.
When I was a kid, we would get Whoppers at McDonald's, or no, Whoppers at Burger King.
Yeah.
And then go to McDonald's for fries, and then that was, we'd take the home.
See, I always liked Burger King's best fries slightly better, but I do understand McDonald's fries being better now as an adult, but...
Well, now Burger King's fries is really good.
Yeah.
But they used to be terrible.
But they had the onion rings, so like...
Yeah.
And that made things a lot better. Plus, they had like the cool kids meal toys.
You're right.
The kids.
You're right.
That Trust is, me, man. I was a fat kid.
I was going to say, you're right. That was pretty random.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm like good at being random. I, like, my brain is so ADD sometimes. I'm just like, bah. Especially because, you know, like, stress happens.
Yeah, stress.
I mean, I have to rent Old Navy right after this episode.
Oh, yeah, but that's not stress.
This afternoon's full of stress.
Well, no, you'll be fine.
Hey, I'll look good for Sandy Honig.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, my dad, who's a photographer, loves her stuff, too.
Oh.
So he's like, yeah, I'm cool with that.
I didn't know your dad was a photographer.
Yeah, he's an advertising photographer.
Cool.
Also, hopefully, back to being a musician very soon. I can't really talk more about that, but...
Okay, then don't. Don't do it.
I probably sell too much more than I should, although it might be on my Facebook by that point.
But that's what this podcast is about, right?
It's all about the exclusives.
Saying things that you can't take back.
I mean, if I need to, I'll edit it out. That'd be weird. Just a weird sense of like, my dad's a beep.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, I edited you out of my life.
No, I didn't edit him out of my life. I love my dad. I love my mom. I love them both so much.
No, I know. You have a good relationship. I know. You talk to them often.
Yeah, right. I was talking to him last night, like, where I was coming home.
That's great.
It was really weird. Like, my dad was like, hey, can you just put me on hold?
Are they up late? Because sometimes it seems you call them pretty late.
Yeah. By late, they go about like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m.
Wow.
Sometimes.
That's late for...
Well, you know me, I'm always up to like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm just saying because like my dad, I think, goes to bed at probably like 10:30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's early.
He gets up at 5:30, though, because he is a doctor and he's just used to those hours. So.
But also, you go to bed pretty early.
I like to go. I
this is like weird roommate stuff.
No, it's not. I think I'm at the point where I'm in a stage of my life where I like to go to bed at a reasonable hour and get up and have coffee. And you know, I don't like to be up past. I think my limit is like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. Yeah.
Although last night you were up pretty late watching Game of Thrones, but
that was 1 a.m. was my limit.
All right.
If you noticed, I went to bed at 1 a.m.
All right.
Okay.
You're right about that.
It's all about getting the facts straight on this podcast.
Guys, in case you haven't realized, the market's always about the facts.
Right.
Always.
Getting it right.
Yeah. All
right. So accuracy.
Let's get something else right. What's saying about Michael Roma? I can't even say your name right now.
No, I know you want to say Romanos, but it's Romanos.
Yeah, I know. I always
that's
say
okay. It. It's Lebanese. It's a Lebanese name. It's my dad's last name. And the correct way to say it is Romanos, but I say Romanos just because that's how I grew up saying it. So, but it's Lebanese origin.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's it about Michael Romanos?
Right. The weird thing is that Michael
part's the one tripping me up. I've been saying your name is Mike for like 4 years.
Yeah, people call me Mike, but the thing is like when I'm in improv classes, there's so many effing Mikes that I was just like, you know how it started too is in Bridge and Tunnel they had a Mike. And they were like, oh, just call me Michael. Because I don't like to be Mike, you know.
I was almost a Michael also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents decided Mark, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I see you as a Mark.
I'm more of a Mark than a Mike.
But yeah, you know, when people do like Mike 1 and Mike 2, I hate that. So like, you know, I was just like, call me Michael, you know, because there's less Michaels than there are Mikes.
I feel like you're like answering like this question so perfectly without even me ask it. Like the whole, like, what's something about you people might not know. They were okay sharing, and I feel like between the Lebanese thing and like this, I mean, is there anything else you want to share?
Well, my dad is Lebanese. My mom was of Polish descent. I love that part about me. Like, I love my family background.
That's a really unique background.
Yeah, I love it. And so I love the culture of it and the history of it. I would say I go by Mike more often, but I definitely go by Michael in certain circles.
Yeah.
And then there is one person who can call me, who likes to call me Mikey, and I let him.
I would never call you Mikey.
Yeah, it's just a friend from high school that like likes to call me that.
I can't even say Mikey.
I know.
I look at you and I say Mikey. Like,
yeah. No. Thank God.
Me, like, I like look away.
Yeah. Thank God, my family like refused that like that moniker.
Even as a little kid.
Oh yeah, terrible.
They're like, Mike, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but I go by both. I like both. I like having two options.
Well, it's funny because, like, for me, like, my name's just Mark.
Yeah.
But a lot of people think Marcus.
Right.
And also growing up in the early, being born in the mid-80s and growing up in the 90s, Marky Mark. I get a lot. And I'm like, fuck you. You're not original.
Yeah.
Maybe and I could give a third of a fuck.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay.
It's cool. I mean... My name is what you want. Although I got a really cool nickname at work now that I have no idea how I got.
Yeah.
Well, I know how I got it, but it's like stupidest way in the world. My nickname at work by a couple people is Mark Champagne. And I'm fine with that.
That's a great name.
That's a great nickname.
Wow.
Because I like reference upstairs, like popping bottles, like pop pop. Like,
yeah.
Like that's all. And then like, someone's like, Mark Champagne. I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. No, that's much better than, you know.
Marky Mark or Marcus. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So was that your question? Was
what What's there about you? You're okay sharing that people might not know.
Oh. But I'm fine sharing anything, so.
Just walk, go to the Poet's House. It's right next to the, basically next to the real Battery Park.
I really like German music from the 70s and 80s. Like, I like really good instrumental, it's this music called Kosmisch, which means, like, cosmic music.
Okay.
And, like, I guess, like, certain people know this about me, but, like, it's one of my big favorite things to listen to, like, these bands that a lot of people haven't heard of, like Cluster, Popol Vuh, Brian Eno worked a lot with them. But I guess that's, like, something, I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea about
it's
that.
It's just, like, really, like, great instrumental electronic music that I think is great.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, so what's something you're looking forward to coming up that does not involve you?
That does not involve me?
Like a play, a movie, a book, a TV show?
Oh! No, it's okay. I just got, what is it, Ishiguro's new book that I'm looking forward to reading. That's like, I think it's called The Buried Giant. I hope that's right. See, we got to get the facts right.
Right.
But it's like it's a fantasy novel, which is really interesting because he's the author of like Never Let You
Go.
Right,
which that book is devastating.
Yeah, and Remains of the Day. So I'm looking forward to reading that. Oh, I'm doing the 5-Borough Bike Tour next Sunday, so that'll be fun.
I should like make sure I'm there to like cheer you on.
Yeah.
Does it ride near here, or...?
It goes on... No, it rides near the BQE, like Brooklyn Bridge Park area. So that's good, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Cool.
Not looking forward to writing papers for finals. So that's...
Right, because finals are coming up like right now.
Yeah, so like I got to start doing research and reading. I mean, it's fine. Whatever.
Okay. What about plugs for your Twitter, Tumblr shows?
Your
Twitter is great.
Oh, thank you. I think Scott Boyle is going to be starting at QSIC in June on Fridays. That's great. Brendan Tunnel has a monthly show at the People's Improv Theater Saturday nights, so look for that. And then Scott Boyle is always doing things around town.
What's your Twitter?
Twitter's just my name, Michael Romanos at Twitter, I think, or at Michael Romanos,
yeah,
however it is. I go through spurts on Twitter. Like, I think I'm in a down. I like don't pay attention to it for like a week, and then, you know, but
then pop out like 12 good tweets.
Well, I like it's fun. I'll get into. I just don't want to do it every day. I'd rather do other stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. My plug swiftly at MarkLevy85. If you want to email the show, hcmpod@gmail.com. Plugs. So, coming up, we have Forms from a Bucket. That'll be this Thursday night, 11 p.m. at the Treehouse Theater. $1 or a drink. Got three amazing teams. Hussein, which I love.
Apollo, they're great.
Apollo, which is my most recent favorite Herald team.
They're pretty good.
And I'm very proud of brought back to get a reunion out of. Rocks, which is one of my favorite Weird Herald teams of all time.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great lineup.
I'm really excited about it. I hope you can come out. I doubt you will be able to because you always work early.
Yeah.
But if you want, I'll see you there.
Okay.
And, of course...
We're wrapping things up here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Did you not realize we were wrapping
up? No, I did. I'm just commenting on what you're doing.
We're wrapping all up. also, I'm in Dumbnatch. I think that's how you say it. The industry showcase... that'll be Saturday night at, I want to say, 6:30.
Is that at the Treehouse, too?
At the Treehouse, yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm very excited about.
That's great.
$5. Come see me and Scott Friedstein do some fun sketch together.
Nice.
And you go for industry, come sign us.
Okay.
To, like, the big million-dollar contract.
Yeah. Easy.
What was the Muppet thing? The like the big famous, the rich and famous contract, whatever it's called.
Big movie stars.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm talking about though.
Yeah,
but ties to that. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'll start coming up. Maybe next week, hopefully a big announcement, but that's not something I'm trying to cheeks right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Yay, recording this week in advance. awesome. Mike, this has been awesome. I'm so happy we finally were able to do this.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
This is great.
Yeah.
I really love the fact that you do this.
And I love the fact that you do everything that you do awesomely.
Love you.
I love you too.
All right.
And I'll see you guys next time at the mark.
God bless.
Good night.